Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
I have a message for you today from Luke chapter 15, if you would like to read along with me. Luke chapter 15, one line. We're going to be looking at one statement today in one verse. And this statement is the gospel. This is the gospel. If anyone wants to know what the gospel is, here it is. The gospel means, when you look up the definition of the word gospel, it means glad tidings. It means good news. That's what the gospel is, good news. This is the best news that any soul could ever hear. This is the best news I have ever heard. This is the best news I've ever told. This right here is the gospel. If you look with me at Luke 15, in the very middle of verse 2, it says, "This man receiveth sinners." This man receiveth sinners. May God open our hearts to this today. Honestly, may God open our hearts to this today. Aren't you so thankful for the fact that our Lord's word is so clear and it's so definite, it's so matter of fact? If God gives us eyes to see the word, it's clear if he gives us eyes to see the word, and if he gives us an ear to hear his word, and if he gives us a heart to believe his word, then his word is so easy to understand. It's just so clear. It's so soothing. It's so restful. It's so comforting. Our Lord can do so much for us with just a few words. Just a few words. This man receiveth sinners. Four words. Just four words. This man receiveth sinners. You know, the gospel can be preached in one word. Christ. He is the gospel in one word. Here is the gospel in two words. In Christ. In Christ. Where is all the love of God found? In Christ. Where are all the blessings of God found? In Christ. Here's another two-word gospel message. But God. He just mentioned, we just read the word sinners. Sinners, but God. Here's the gospel in three words. It is finished. It is finished. Men and women are wondering, what do I need to do? What do I need to do? It is finished. Finished. Right here, we have the gospel. We have the glad tidings. We have the happy news in four glorious words. This man receiveth sinners. Now, our message today is these four words. And from these four words, I have three points. The first point is, this man. That's point number one. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, this man. Let's take a minute and look at this man. Let's look at who he is, who he really is. Who is this man, Jesus Christ? Jesus of Nazareth, that the scripture tells us about. Many people know who he is, but they don't know who he is. You say his name, and many people know who he is, but they don't know who he is. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? Who is this one who came? Who is this one who was born of a virgin? Well, let's read a little bit about him here in the Word. Turn with me over to Luke 24. Luke chapter 24, verse 25. Then he said unto them, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Speaking of his suffering on the cross, everything that he endured, everything that he suffered for the sake of his people. Verse 27 says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Beginning at Moses, all the prophets, he expounded everything concerning himself. Verse 44 says, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. He said it was all concerning me. Everything that was written in the Old Testament concerning the God of the Old Testament. Moses wrote about the God of the Old Testament. He said Moses was writing about me. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ said. Moses wrote of me. Moses, David, the prophets, all of them wrote of me. All of the dealings that God had with Israel, he said, that was me. That was me. Across my page is John chapter 1. John 1:1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. That's speaking of Christ. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God, that's who this man is. He's God. When we say this man, who are we talking about? We're talking about God. John 1 verse 3 says, all things were made by him, the Word, Christ. And without him was not anything made that was made. Most people believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is just the Son of the Old Testament God. That's who they think he is. They think he's just the Son of the Old Testament God. Most people believe he is just the Son of the God who made everything. But that's not who he is. That's not so. He's not just the Son of the Almighty One. And he's not just the Son of the Judge who is seated on the throne. He is the very I Am of the Old Testament. That's who this man is. Many people believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is just a frustrated middleman. That's what they see him to be. He's just a frustrated middleman. He's just begging and pleading with God, and he's begging and pleading with men, and he's trying to mediate between the two. And many people see him to be a good luck charm, a name that they can drop to just help them out in that day before the judgment. Well, I'll mention his name, and maybe God will, you know, help me because of him. That's not who he is. That's not who he is at all. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8 says, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. We want to be accepted. Verse 10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ. Why must we all stand before the judgment seat of Christ? It's because all judgment has been placed into his hands. All judgment. That's who this man is. He is the judge. Over in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 says, "For by him," speaking of Christ, "by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence." That means that he might be first, that he might be the head of all things. Now, does that sound like a person who is trying to do something as long as other people will allow him to do it? Absolutely not. Does that sound like somebody who is standing at other people's heart's door just knocking and begging and pleading, "Please let me"? Absolutely not. This man is the God of all heaven and earth. Earth, the God. That's who this man is. The God. The God. The scripture says, "Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." God was. The one who sits on the throne himself, reigning over everything and ruling over everything, doing as he pleases, when he pleases, with whom he pleases. That's who this man is. That's who this man is. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. God with us. That's who this man is. He's the one who has the ability and the right. The scripture says, he is the one who has the ability and the right to kill and to make alive, to wound and to heal. This man is the one who does all these things. He said, "I do all these things." He can do anything he is pleased to do. That's what I want us to see right here. This man can do anything that he is pleased to do. Sometimes we talk about the truth. We say we're going to preach the truth. Well, here's the truth. This man is God Almighty, and he can do anything he's pleased to do. Whatever he wants to do, that's what he does. That's the truth. He can do anything he's pleased to do. Now, here's the gospel. Here's the gospel. This is what he's pleased to do. He can do anything he wants to do. That's the truth. Here's the gospel. This is what he said he was pleased to do. This is what he, of his own heart, said he was pleased to do. If you look back at our text at Luke 15, the middle of verse 2 says, "This man receiveth." That's what he said he was pleased to do. He can do anything he's pleased to do. And this is what he said he would do. This is what he said he wanted to do. This man receives. John 1 says, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not." Isaiah 53 says, "He was despised and rejected of men. He was accused of men. He was tortured, not just of men, but of his own." The very ones who brought him to Pilate crying, "Crucify him." He prayed, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." And then at the day of Pentecost, the very ones who led him to Pilate, God had mercy on them. Christ had mercy on them. They were his people. And the very ones who mocked him, the very ones who humiliated him and rejected him, to those very ones, he had every right according to the law. Now think about this. He had every right, according to the holy law, to reject them and do the same to them that they did to him. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Had we read right here in verse 2 that this man rejects. If we want to know something about this man, here it is. This man tortures. This man humiliates. Had that been the case here, that would have been just and right and holy and true according to the law. But we sing a song called Amazing Grace. And amazingly, just amazingly, that's not what it says. It says, this man receiveth. He could do anything he wants to do. And this is what he chose to do. This man allows. This man accepts. It has nothing to do with whether or not I accept him. My cold, dead heart wouldn't accept him at all. But thank God, this man accepts. This man receives. This man welcomes in. And he does it right now. Every soul that the Father draws to him, he does that for that soul. He is doing that right now. I'm so thankful that this does not say, this man received. He used to. There was a time when this man used to receive. Thank God it doesn't say that. It says this man receives. Right now. Receiveth. It means two things. It means still. This man still receives. Still. Right now. And it means continually. This man is continually receiving. He receiveth and he receiveth and he receiveth over and over again. This man receiveth. His receiving is not a one-time receiving. Thank God for this. His receiving is not a three strikes and you're out. This man receiveth and receiveth and receiveth and receiveth. And receiveth. We sin against him, his people that the Father gave to him. They sin against him and he'll receive them again. And then they sin against him in their flesh and he'll receive them again. We're so prone to wander. Lord, we feel it. If we truly belong to him, we know something of ourselves. We feel it. Prone continually to leave the God that we love. But every time we do, with cords of love, he draws his people back and he says, I'll receive you again to myself. I'll receive you again in spite of you, in spite of what you continually do, in spite of what you continually are. Thank God this man receiveth sinners. This man receiveth sinners. Sinners. Why does this man receive sinners? Why does he do that? It's because that's who his Father gave to him. That's who his Father sent him for. That's who he came to save. That's who he came to live for. That's who he came to die for. That's who he came to shed his blood for. And every chosen person that he has done this for will know, he did this for me. Every one of them will know. If he did this for me, I will know. And if he did it for you, you will know. And here's the reason why. For every person he did this for, God's Holy Spirit will come to that person and will convince that person of this. You are a sinner. Every person Christ did this for, every person Christ receives, he sends his Spirit to that person and the Holy Spirit of God convinces that person, you are a sinner. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. And then once the Spirit convinces a person of that, oh, I'm a sinner. This is what the Spirit tells that person. He says, this man can do anything he wants to do. This man can receive anything he wants to receive. And this man said that he would receive sinners. And that's what you are. And that's what he's done for you. This man receives sinners. Now, honestly, that gives me such great hope. Me. That gives me such great hope and such great comfort and such great assurance, because I'm just going to be honest with you. That's what I am. I'm sure that's shocking to hear. I'm sure it's shocking to hear somebody admit that publicly, but that's what I am. I wish I wasn't, but that's what I am. In everything that's inward, outward, that's what I am, and that's what you are. And I pray God's Spirit will convince both of us of that. It's the only hope that we have. Because it's the evidence that He has done something for us. That's the work of the Spirit. A writer wrote, a sinner is a sacred thing. The Holy Ghost has made him so. That means the Holy Ghost has revealed that to him. And I can honestly say that God has revealed to me that I'm a genuine certified sinner. I'm a through and through sinner. That's what I am. When God truly reveals sin to a person, oh, they become so down on themselves. The flesh of man, the self-righteousness of man is so proud. Man naturally is just so proud. That's how we all start out. That's how I started out. I was so proud. And God humbled me by revealing to me what I am. And when God does that for a sinner, sometimes it is so humbling that person thinks, I can't come to Him. I should not come to Him. They're seeing this man, seeing who he is and all of his holiness and righteousness, there's no way I could come to him. I've gone too far. I've just sinned too much. I've gone past the point of him receiving me. Well, listen to this. If God has convinced you that you're a sinner, that ought to give you all the more assurance to come to him. All the more assurance. I'll give you a little illustration of that. I'm sure you've seen signs in the windows of stores, jewelry stores, and places like that. They'll put up a sign that says, "We buy gold." I know you've seen those signs. We buy gold. What that means is we can take our jewelry that we don't want, whatever we have that we think is gold, and they'll test it. We take it to them, and they'll test it, and they'll weigh it. And if it really is genuine gold, they will pay us for it. They'll buy that gold from us. Now, after they test it, if it's not pure gold, if it's mixed with something, or if it's not gold at all, they won't receive it. They'll hand it back to us, and they'll say, there's no value in that. And we'll walk away empty-handed. They won't pay us. They won't receive it, and they won't pay us. The more confidence that we have that is pure gold, the more assurance that ought to give us that they'll receive it. Because they say in their sign, we buy gold. And if I know this is genuine, certified, through and through gold, that ought to give me all the assurance in the world to bring it to them. Because that's what they receive. Well, this man says, he receives sinners. And the more convinced that you and I are of the fact that we are genuine, certified, through and through sinners, that ought to give us all the assurance in the world to go to this man. Because that's who he says he receives. This man receives sinners. Now, if you're convinced that you're only partly a sinner, little bit of sin mixed with a little bit of your own self-righteousness. Or if you're convinced you're not a sinner at all, some people are. Some people are convinced, I'm not a sinner. Don't you call me a sinner. If that's the case, I would be very fearful about coming to this man. Because there's no hope for a person who's not a sinner. His word is to sinners. His salvation is to sinners. He said he will receive sinners, and that's all that he said he will receive. He said, I didn't come for the righteous. I didn't come for the self-righteous, a man who says, well, I'm righteous before God. He said, I didn't come for the righteous. He said, I came for sinners. But if you are sitting there right now, convinced that you are a sinner, if your mind is condemning you and your heart is condemning you and your actions are condemning you because you know you can't hide it before God, you're an absolute sinner, then go to this man. In your heart, in your mind, come to him lowly, humbly, bowing, crying, Lord, I'm a sinner in need of mercy. Say that to him. When you go to him, you say, I'm a sinner in need of your mercy. I need your blood to cover my sin. Oh, I need you to receive me. This is what he said. He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. I will in no wise cast out. Now let me leave you with this question. Are you a sinner? Get honest with yourself right now. You don't have to confess to anybody but God. In your heart, am I a sinner? Is Gabe Stonecker a sinner? And are you a sinner? If we are, if we truly are, then this is what the song says. Sinners, the Lord Jesus will receive. Sound this word of grace to all who the heavenly pathway leave. All who linger, all who fall, sing it over and over again. You tell them over and over again, Christ receiveth sinful men. Make the message clear and plain. Christ receiveth sinful men. May the Lord make that to be a blessing. Till next week.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, log on to our website at ksgctn.org. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Please tune in next week for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.